This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless all of you. How are you?
Good.
You're well. Great. You're alive. This is Sherry Medlock, and I would like to ask you to turn in your King James Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 25, where we left off last time. Judges, chapter 6, verse 25. Just before we begin, I want to invite everyone under the sound of my voice, especially out in cyberspace, to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, each Thursday between 12 noon and 2 p.m., a two-hour window. Scott Merson, my twin friend, and I open the door, and we offer to pray for your healing, deliverance, word of knowledge, whatever. The Thursday prayer line, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Come on Sundays, 5 p.m., for this live radio broadcast, line-by-line teaching and anointed prayer. And come on Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m., I'm teaching another book in the Bible, and Prayer Warriors. And now, the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 25. Last time, God had appointed the fifth judge in Israel to defeat the mean old Midianites who had come in and taken over the land. The new judge, the Hebrew word is shofat, means to set in order. The new judge's name was Gideon, which means the cutter down. And God says, I'm going to give you the victory. So Gideon said, okay, and now we begin.
25. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's book, even the second book.
Take your dad Joash's two animals. That second means take two. He's going to have him do two offerings. Now, Joash is Gideon's dad, and Joash is an Israelite, but the Midianites have set up offerings to Baal and to the god Ashtaroth on Joash's property.
Of 7 years old.
The seven represents a 7 years captivity. The Midianites had captured the Israelites. It's a type and shadow for us that since we're in the fifth trump, at the sixth trump coming soon, the Antichrist is going to come and the whole world will worship him. Originally, his time was 7 years. Thank goodness it's been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13.
And pull down the altar of Baal that my father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it.
Okay, now they had two gods the Midianites worship, and they brought those idols into the Israelites' camp on Gideon's dad Joash's property. Now this is a type and shadow. Gideon and Gideonettes are the very elect, the small group of people at the end time. These things happen to them. For an example, for those of us at the end, 1 Corinthians 10, that we are to go into the church, not physically tearing down, but spiritually through prayer, and go in and pull down the altars of Baal, the fake worship, the false worship in the Christian church today, which mostly that would be self-centeredness. And then we'll go and to cut down the groves. What they had were trees, and they worshiped Ashtaroth, a male phallic symbol, and they would go in the woods there and have their fornication activities, and it was hidden. But we, the Gideons and the Gideonettes, are to go through prayer by the Spirit into the body of Christ today, pull down the altars of self-centeredness, and expose the pornography that is going on in the Christian church. There is more pornography by Christians. Internet, smartphones, television than you would ever want to believe. But remember that anything that worships God more, worships anything more than God, is an abomination. Yes. Now, this is a good chance for me to talk to you tweens and teens who listen to me. And I have two beautiful ones in front of me. Sex is not an ugly word. The way God made us, male and female, is very beautiful. It's not nasty and it's not bad. And the way he meant was a man and a woman at the right time to get married. And when you come together, then God can take one of those children there in the spirit form and put that soul in you. And then you can bring up that child to love Jesus and to obey the Bible. But he says, wait until you're married. Now, teens and tweens, probably you already got friends that say, look at this picture on my smartphone. It's somebody naked doing something you don't want to do. Or go on the internet and look at pornography. In other words, also, why don't you come to my house? We're going to have a special party. Please say no. Here's why. God's not trying to take your fun away. When you have sex before you're married, you stand a chance to get a sexual disease. I have had people in my school die early because they were sexually promiscuous. They didn't wait for marriage. Also, you can get pregnant. We've had 15-year-old girls get pregnant. Your life is ruined. The boy usually leaves then. The girl has to drop out of school, get a job, minimum wage, and your life's destroyed. And also, when you have sex with someone with whom you're not married, the spirit of that person comes onto you, and then it takes a lot of Jesus' blood to clean that out. So when your friends say, look at this, let's go there, we're going to do that, say no. You say, but they won't be my friend anymore. A friend doesn't want you to do something that will hurt you. So see, if you do that, they're not your friend, they will hurt you. Besides, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. You don't have to climb in. So wait for marriage and God will do that. You're not a prude. You're not a nerd to say no. You're very wise to say no. And that's what you do. So teens and tweens, say no to alcohol. Don't take the first sip of beer or wine. You might have a disease and can't quit. And teens and tweens, say no to drugs. Marijuana is not harmless. Don't even touch it. And teens and tweens, say no to sex. Don't even get yourself in a situation. Control your feelings. It's not wrong to feel that way about the opposite sex. God put that. But wait until marriage. God has a beautiful destiny and plan for your life. Don't mess it up by a moment of touchy feeling. And thank you, parents. I know you'll give me a clam. Have a clam here. Hallelujah. Now we'll get on back to Gideon.
26. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God.
In other words, go down there and tear those trees down where they've been doing all that pornography and then put an altar to the one true God in there. That's like a slap in the face, isn't it?
Upon the top of this rock, in the order of place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down.
Now, the reason he wanted Gideon to do two sacrifices, for all of you elect, you Gideons and you Gideonettes who are under the sound of my voice, there are two offerings you must offer. You don't just go and serve. You know, there's something you've got to do. The first offering is that you offer yourself. It's an approach offering, to be able to approach God. So the first offering is, I offer myself a living sacrifice. Not dying, but a living sacrifice. I surrender all. So the first offering, Gideon and Gideonettes, is that you surrender yourself to God and his will and plan for your life. Then that second offering is to serve. Then and only then are you Gideon and Gideonettes able to go into the groves and pull down and expose the sins of the Christian, not to embarrass them, but to deliver them from that. You understand? So there you go, two offerings.
27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him.
He obeyed.
And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, but he did it by night.
Covert activity. He was afraid they would kill him.
28. And when the men of the city rose up early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down.
Yay.
And the grove was cut down that was by it.
Whoa.
And the second bullock was offered unto the altar that was built.
So Gideon had obeyed. He had the second one then was to serve and offer an altar to God. So see, once you surrender yourself, then you serve. And when you clean out the lust of the eye and the pride of life and the self-centeredness of the church, then you must replace it with Jesus and the Bible.
29. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, he hath done this thing.
One of those 10 men who helped Gideon do that was a leaker. He had a leaker in his cabinet. Now, Jesus had 12 disciples, and one of them was a leaker. King David was the king of Israel. He was the preacher and the music director. And right sitting beside him praying and going to church all the time, he had a leaker, Ahithophel. So Gideons and Gideonettes, know your assembly.
30. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal.
Let's kill him.
And because he had cut down the grove that was by it.
I think that was what it was. I don't think they love Baal so much, these men of Baal. But I think, see, the woods, they couldn't go in there and do their pornography. They probably didn't love God. They just having fun doing all that sin. All right? They didn't want the sin to be torn up. You hear how people get caught with the cookie jar, and then they say, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. They're not sorry what they did, they're sorry they got caught.
31. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal, or will you fight for Baal? Will you save him?
Do you have to save your God, says Joash. Now, Joash is an Israelite. And he says, you worship Baal, and you call Baal God. Do you have to save your God? Our God saves us.
Amen. He that would plead for him, let him be put to death. Yes, it was yet learned, if he be a God, let him plead for himself.
All of that's a little bit convoluted there. What he's saying there, you say that Baal is your God. So since he's God, that means he's omnipotent, unlimited power. So why do you, Baal worshippers, have to save your God? Isn't your God able to save you? And I say to Islamic terrorists, you are killing Christians and Judah, and you are doing this to save your God, and you think you're going to get 72 virgins, you're going to get a rude awakening. I want to tell you something. You ought to come on our side, because our God does not require that we die for him. Your God, terrorist, makes you die for him. Our God died for us. Our God sent his son and died in our stead.
Because one hath cast down his altar. 32. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbabel.
The first he is Joash, that's the father. He called his son Gideon Jerubbabel. Now he didn't change his son's name. Gideon is still the cutter downer. That's what his name means, the cutter downer. Like the elect of today, the cutter downer. We cut down the idol worship. We cut down the mask that Christians are wearing. But what it means is a title. Actually, he honored him. Jerubbabel is an honorary title, and it means this in the Hebrew. Gideon fought continually with Baal, but Baal could not harm him. Jesus said to you, I give you power After that, the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And I give you power, Christian, over all the power of the enemy, over scorpions and serpents, over devils and demons, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has thrown down his altar.
Joash says, if Baal wants to kill my son Gideon, then I'll accept that. But can't your God take help for himself? What kind of God can't fight for himself?
33, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east went over together and pitched in the valley of Jezreel.
Okay, the enemy gets together with allies and they're ready to fight Gideon. The Midians, remember, these are Abrahamic people. So this would represent today the Christian church who's going to worship the Antichrist. Matthew 24:25, five are wise and five are foolish. Half of the body of Christ will worship the Antichrist. So that's Midian. And they'll come against the very elect, the few Gideons and Gideonettes. The Amalekites are the Russians. Esau is Edom. Amalek was the grandson of Esau, who is Edom, who is Russia. The atheists of this world who do not believe in God are going to begin or believe in a God when Antichrist comes. And the men of the east are the descendants of Ishmael, who was the son of Abraham by Sarah's handmaiden Hagar. That would be the Arabs. So the whole world will go after the Antichrist, and only the few little elect, 7,000, Romans 11, will know that that one coming is not our Savior. So they'll be against us, not killing us, but just not like us.
34, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon.
Okay, all the enemies around you, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Came upon in the Hebrew is the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon. As I said that, the Lord touched my head and clothed me. Isaiah 61, he says, put on the garment of praise for the Spirit of heaven. His garment is clothing. And when one is anointed, Jesus is anointed one, it means, that would be Greek, that Jesus paints himself on you. Have you ever seen a picture of a model or an actress and the dress is so tight they say it looks like it was painted on her? Okay, Ephesians chapter 6 says, Christian, here's what you wear every day. Here's how to be well-dressed in God's kingdom. Put on the gospel armor. Put on the helmet of salvation. God just put it on my head. I just felt it. The breastplate of righteousness. The girdle of truth. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith. I never take mine off. You can bathe and eat and drink and keep your clothes on. This is what you wear. When the man Adam and the woman Eve in Genesis 2 were beguiled by Satan, that old serpent, and had sinned, they looked down and saw themselves naked and they were ashamed. But why were they not ashamed before? Because before they sinned, they were clothed with the glory of God. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that's why we praise him, our hands go up, and like you do your little child, you put one sweater sleeve here and one sweater sleeve here, and the clothing goes on you. The Holy Spirit clothes you. I can tell you the truth. It is an actual feeling. You can feel the substance. He's doing this to me right now. His left hand's under my head. His right hand doth embrace me. You can feel it. It's not just a little quiver. It's the whole thing. He wraps you around. Wraps you around. Wraps you around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Holy Spirit. I pray that all of you be clothed with the Holy Spirit. It's the only way you're going to be able to fight and win.
And he blew a trumpet.
And he blew a trumpet. Now, in the book of Numbers, I believe that's chapter 24, God says, all right, I want you to have two silver trumpets. And he said, one trumpet is to call the people to assemble, and the other is to say, lights, camera, action. We're ready to move here. So Gideon blows the trumpet. 12 tribes assemble. We got a war. The enemy's here. And I say, elect, connect. I'm blowing the fifth trumpet. Connect with me. Those of you who are quickened in your spirit, connect, because we're in end time battle and we need your presence here to come and fight with us. So he blows the trumpet in Zion.
And Abiezer was gathered after him.
That would be Manasseh. That's his own tribe. That's amazing. His family actually came and helped him. Jesus says usually a prophet is without honor in his own country. Usually a family doesn't call you a prophet.
35, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also had gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher.
Remember when Jacob Israel blessed Asher, he blessed all the sons. And Asher, he said, you just sit there and eat your dainties. Remember when Deborah called out Asher? Asher said, I'm not going to help you fight. I'm going to sit in my little cove here. I'm just going to watch this show. I'm going to eat my little dainties. I'm not going to get myself dirty. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to have any feeling. I'm just going to sit here and watch. Asher came, but Asher didn't want to come. This was not a voluntary army. This was mandatory. Asher had to come. Wonder if Asher's going to stay.
And unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali.
You remember 100 years earlier, which we studied last week, was Deborah. When she sent out the call, the first ones to step up were Naphtali and Zebulun. In other words, there's always those people in the body of Christ, the very elect, that say, here am I will. We just step right up. We don't wait to be nudged. We don't sit and stare. We get in the fray because we love our God.
Amen.
And they came up to meet them. 36, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. 37, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor.
A fleece of wool is wool, a little square of wool from a sheep, like a little cloth. So he's a little bit nervous. Father, I need a little confirmation here that you're going to give me the victory. I'm going to give you a little test. Would you mind that, Lord? A little proof, please?
And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand.
So let the little piece of wool, he is courageous enough to put it on the threshing floor rather than hide it in the wine press. At least he's gotten that far. But I need a little proof. I need a confirmation. So in the morning, we know the dew settles. Let the fleece be wet, but let the ground be dry. And then I'll know that you're with me, Lord.
As thou hast said. 38, and it was so.
And it was so. God did that.
For he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together.
He squeezed it together. Look at the water coming out.
And wrang the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. 39, and Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once.
Please don't be mad at me, Lord, but I'm still a little nervous. There is a scripture in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. Could I just have a second witness? Don't get mad, Lord, but I need one more proof.
Let me prove, I pray thee, that this once with the fleece, let it now be dry only on the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew.
Now this would take more God power, because the wool, and this is wool off of a lamb, the wool, the fleece, automatically draws moisture. Little sheep left out there can get very sick. That's why they put them in a sheep cot at night, because that their wool is just magnetic. The moisture goes there and can make them very sick. So see, it's not normal that the fleece there it would be dry and the ground would be wet. This would really take God's power.
40, and God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Judges chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people with him, rose up early and pitched beside the wall of Herod.
That was a well, water.
so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them.
They could see the enemy. The Midianites were gathered around.
By the hill of Moreh in the valley. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many.
Now we're going to find out that Gideon had called and had gotten 32,000 Israelites in his army. And the enemy, the Midianites, had 135,000. And God says, you got too many. Oh!
For me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me.
Vaunt is an old English word, lest they boast and say, boy, we had 32,000 soldiers, we beat 135,000. People like to take the credit for doing it themselves. God wants to get the glory. You know, I understand God. You could give me 10,000 people to sit before me, and I have spoken before large audiences, but the crowd doesn't get it. It's always the few small sheep of Amos. It's only a few. It's a wide gate that leads to destruction. Many go therein. It's a small, narrow road that leads to eternal life. Few there be that find it. Many are called, but few are chosen. You give me one more person with a heart like mine to love God and fight for him, I'd rather have just one than 10,000 of those other kind.
Amen.
Verse 3, now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, return and depart early from Mount Gilead.
If any of you are scared to death, shake it in your boots, go home. And you will not be court-martialed. Actually, that's very biblical. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 8, God said, when you're in the land of Israel, when you call the army, the military, if anyone's cowardly afraid, tell them they can be dismissed. You don't ever want anybody in your foxhole who will not cover your back. You don't want any people just looking and watching at you. You want a person who will fight for you. And that's what he's doing here. Elect our fighters.
And there returned of the people 22,000.
Good Lord, 22. He's got 10,000 left. 22 said, we're out of here.
And there remained 10,000. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many.
You still got too many, Gideon.
Bring them down to the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that whom I say to thee, this shall go with thee, and the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go.
This encouraged me so much. This shows us that God himself selects the people to connect with his elect. That's why you'll find your steps are ordered to a Gideon or a Gideonette at these end times. Now, God has some of you listening to me now. Your spirit is being quickened, and God has chosen you, so come on over. But I'll tell you, God does the choosing, but he also decides who would hurt the work you're to do.
5, so he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself.
Now I'm going to explain this. Okay, everyone who bends down, their eyes are on the enemy. They're keeping a high watch. They don't even bow their head down. They scoop up some water. They don't get on the ground. They just bend over, and they bring it up, and they lap. Because their eyes are watching the enemy. Those are lapped like a dog. That's why they do it. Now watch what the others do.
But all the rest of the people bow down upon their knees. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. 6, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men.
Okay, the rest of them got down on their knees. They thought, going to refresh myself. They probably splashed their face. They just put their face in there and drank and drank. It only takes 1 second for an arrow to come your way to take you out. Watchman on the wall, watch. You never lose your guard, elect. You must always be watching out for the flock. By the way, 300 in biblical numerics, we got 300 left. 300, listen to this in biblical numerics. Strength by the Spirit of Almighty God. 300 means strength by the Spirit of Almighty God. Give me 300 people who are clothed with the Holy Spirit. That means you would have strength of Almighty God rather than 22,000 people who are duh.
The rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water.
They lost their focus. See, when you're called and chosen, you don't ever lose your focus. Don't ever lose your focus.
7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people, every man, go unto his place.
The rest of you may go home. They were out of there.
Verse 8. So the people took victuals in their hand, and their trumpets.
And while you're going out, leave us your food. At least those of you who are going to sit in your bleachers, in your cove, Asher, at least provide the military with food and give us your trumpet. Because a trumpet makes a sound, and sound produces movement. And God is about to move in a mighty way. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his own tent.
And there you have it. God in one is a majority. We'll begin right there next time. Were you blessed?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I challenge you to be Gideon and Gideonettes. But it's time now for a mystery moment. Excuse me. Questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, anointed man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. It was great. Great word tonight.
Thank you. Awesome. You're Gideon.
Yeah, that was awesome. I have a question that's real pertinent for the time.
Okay.
Okay, it says, was President Trump wise in withdrawing from the Paris Agreement?
He was very wise. He used a wisdom greater than Solomon. We prayed about that. Yes, the Paris Agreement was just using the United States to give corrupt other governments billions of money. So President Trump is a wise businessman. He knew we were being taken, so he did a great thing. Thank goodness for that. We don't need that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Okay, our next question. Is climate change a hoax?
Climate change is a hoax. President Trump knows that too. They're also trying to get money. In Genesis 8:22, God says, God is speaking, while earth remains, seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, and day and night shall not cease. Period.
Period. Yeah, and that's it, too. And any other belief is going against the Word of God.
Any other belief.
It really is. That's the truth. That's
and
the
we
truth.
Hear some religious leaders say that, don't we?
They do.
Don't know. They don't know the Word of God. There's a few people that leading in the denominations and non-denominations, we said, read your Bible.
Right.
Well, you know, I know what is wise is Scott's stuff. Could we hear Scott's stuff, please?
Sure. And it's funny, it ties right into tonight.
It does.
We must not drop our defenses after a victory. We must stay vigilant in the humility of victory.
Absolutely. Kind of like Max's scripture, we endure to the end. Watchman on the wall, watch. You know, that's beautiful, Scott, because you and I did not get together to select that, but it's perfect. No. See how God orchestrates
it?
God is a
everything.
Great producer, director, and everything. Well, thank you very much, Scott Mercer. That is beautiful. I want all of you to be saved. The most important thing is that you be saved. That's why you came through your mother's womb, except for the elect to be saved. So please pray this prayer with me and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Forgive my sins.
Forgive my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
And use me.
And use me.
To increase God's kingdom.
To increase God's kingdom.
I love you.
I love you.
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you prayed that in a minute, my announcer in a few minutes is going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call and leave that message on my voicemail. Excuse me. Now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask now, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. And let the healing wings of Jesus, laser beams, go into the bodies right now. Wherever there is pain, Jesus bore the pain. Let there be a rejuvenation, a regeneration. Let the cells come alive. Let lupus be healed in Jesus' name. Let the bone be reformed and reconstructed. Anything missing, make a new one. Let the arthritis be gone. Let the backbone and spine be perfectly aligned. Let the feet and toes let be healed, and let the nerves, let damaged nerves be healed. Let the blood be purified in Jesus. Cirrhosis of the liver be gone. Alcoholics, let the desire come out of you be gone. Now, in Jesus' mighty name, He satisfies your longing soul. He fills your hungry soul with goodness. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Be healed from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. He sent His word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you were healed. And we thank you, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, somebody got that, so please feel free to call and tell me that, too. I want to thank all of you with all of my heart for joining me. And please, please be sure to tell people about Trumpet of Truth. You can get us on the internet, either stream us live 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time Saturday, or on demand, WMIEFM.com. I've just got lots and lots of books of the Bible ever taught on there, so that will help you. Don't forget Thursday, prayer line. Scott and I will pray for you. We open the door at 12 and noon, and we close it at 2 p.m. Come, bring your sick loved ones. Sunday's 5 p.m., Wednesday's 6:30 p.m., word and prayer. And remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. Now, nothing is given to you to keep. Whatever you get, give it away, and God will give you some more. And Jesus said in John 17:17, Thy Word is truth. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock saying, I love you. And God bless and keep you, and stay in the truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
change it. There's a girl on the street, she's crying. There's a man whose faith is dying. Love is calling you.
Yeah. You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
To know you is to never worry for my life. And to know you is to never give in or compromise. And to know you is to want to tell the world about you. 'Cause I can't live without you. My brother when he's falling. To know you is to feel the pain of the broken hearted, 'cause they can't live without you. More than my next breath, more than life or death, all I'm reaching for, I live my life to know you more. I leave that satisfies. To know you is to want to know you more. To know you is to want to know you more. To know you is to ache for more. Temporary. To know you is believing that you'll be enough, 'cause there's no life without you. More than my next breath, more than life or death, all I'm reaching for, I live my life to know you more. I leave it all behind.
Waves to whatever song plays without a care in the world, and
And I'm sitting here wearing the weight of the world on my shoulders. It's been a long day and there's still work to do. She's pulling at me saying, Dad, I need you. There's a ball at the castle and I've been invited. And I need to practice my dancing. Oh, please, Daddy, please. So I dance with Cinderella while she's here in my arms. 'Cause I know something the prince never knew. I don't wanna miss even one song. 'Cause all too soon the clock will strike midnight and she'll be gone. She says he's a nice guy and I'd be impressed. She wants to know if I approve of the dress. She says, Dad, the prom is just 1 week away. And I need to practice my dancing. Oh, please, Daddy, please. So I will dance with Cinderella while she's here in my arms. 'Cause I know something the prince never knew. Strike midnight and she'll be gone. She will be gone. But she came home today with a ring on her hand, just glowing and telling us all they had planned. She says, Dad, the wedding's still 6 months away, but I need to practice my dancing. Oh, please, Daddy, please. So I will dance with Cinderella while she is here.